And our scripture today is in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. I've entitled The Ladder of Faith, because faith is like a ladder. And we'll just take our knees before the Lord now in general, without mentioning them all. Father, we just bring all our needs before you. And me as I stand here, Lord, in total weakness and helplessness. For those, Lord, who are in the hospital, for those who are unsaved especially, for those who are backslidden, for those who are lost in sin. Lord, we bring them up to you. For those who are dying, those on their deathbeds, Lord, who know not Christ, facing eternity that should horrify them, and we pray, Lord, you would bring visions of that before them. And Lord, bring people to their aid. Bring people to their rescue. Use us, Lord. Use us, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, we use ladders for all types of things. If you have dust in out-of-the-way places, you have to get a ladder, right? Small ladder. And ladders take us from down here to the floor to as high as the sky sometimes. And you know, there is in the believer's life dust in some of the out of way places. Some things we need to dust off. Some people need to dust off their Bibles. But we have dust, cobwebs, places where there isn't much life, where dirt's collected. And we need the ladder of faith to take us up higher so we can see that. Yeah, there's dirt there. I need some cleaning there. Ladders are used to repair roofs. And in Christianity, in the lives of Christians, we need repair at times. Ladders are used to pick fruit. Go up high and get that good fruit that you cannot otherwise reach without a ladder. Firemen use a ladder to rescue people from burning buildings. And there are a lot of people who need rescuing. And there is a mother, Greek mother, a Gentile mother, recorded in Gospel of Matthew chapter 15, who was doing just that, trying to rescue her daughter who was in the clutches of Satan. We have to see the sinner as those who are in the clutches of Satan, those who are in darkness, and those he wishes to keep in darkness, and will keep in darkness until they believe. And this mother's daughter was in darkness. Her home was in shambles. There was no peace in this home. Not with a screaming daughter possessed of demons. There was no peace. There was no good night's sleep. And friends, how can we sleep so peacefully at times when we hear the screams of those who are in darkness, in the clutches of Satan? We need, like this woman, to come to Jesus and get past every obstacle that's in our way. In our journey to heaven, there are many obstacles in our path, many obstacles in our way, many hurdles to get over, many who would keep us, even armies. And sometimes God sends those armies, as he sent the Midianites to afflict Israel, but then lifted up a man, a farmer called Gideon, and put faith in him so he could do great things for God. And we read in Matthew 15, verse 21, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him. Sort of like the woman who had the issue of blood. She had spent all her living on physicians and grew worse. And no doubt this woman, being a pagan woman, being a heathen woman, perhaps she went first to the witch doctor. Or she went to all the secular sources. Can you deliver my daughter? Do you have a magic amulet that she could wear? Do you have some magic words that I can say? No doubt she went to all those, and they failed, as the physicians failed to heal the woman with the issue of blood. And so she came to Jesus. She cried unto him. She didn't whisper. And sometimes our prayers are just whispers, but very often they are sobs, they are tears. As John Bunyan said, the best prayers are those of a broken heart, our tears. That woman that we read of this morning, the woman of the streets who was a great sinner, she said nothing to Jesus. Not one word. She just cried out her request. Jesus read her tears. He read her tears. He knew what was troubling her. And so this woman came with cries and tears. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And what we've seen here before, and again, this is review for some of you and new for others. Jesus himself put obstacles in her path. God Almighty must test our faith, or our faith is good for nothing. Faith that is not tested is worthless. All of us went through school to some degree, and we were tested over and over again. Tested to see what we learned and to learn more by our failures. I remember in eighth grade, I had to learn the prepositions. How many are there? 80-something prepositions? You know, above, beneath, around prepositions. I failed that test the first time. I failed it the second time. And I was the only one that had to stay after school to take the test the third time. But eventually I learned my prepositions. Well, I've probably forgotten most of them now. But I'm glad the teacher said, you're not leaving here until you learn your prepositions. I'm going to test you and test you again. And God has to test our faith or it's worthless. And so Christ was going to test this woman's faith. As he's testing your faith. In the same ways that he tested hers. He answered her number one. Number one obstacle. He answered her not a word. Completely silent. Nothing. Didn't even give her a look perhaps. And what was she to think? Oh, the devil was there. The devil was there to tempt her. You're pleading with Christ to save your daughter, and he doesn't answer you one word. Go back to the witch doctor. Go back to the sorcerer. They at least spoke to you. They at least heard you. You know, Christ tests our faith that way. We pray and we pray and we get no answer from heaven. We plead with him. We weep. And still he doesn't answer our prayers. He has to test our faith. Imagine if he answered every prayer as soon as we asked it. As soon as we offered our prayer, there came through the door, through the ceiling, delivered. We'd have no faith. We just keep asking and asking, but it really wouldn't be faith. He answered her not a word. That was the obstacle of silence. When heaven is silent, what do? We complain. We stop asking. We think the answer is no when it's just wait. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on waiting, persevere as this woman did. And she kept on asking. The second obstacle that Jesus put in her way were his disciples. He had called them, they were his disciples. He said, come and follow me. He fed them. He taught them. He performed miracles for them. They were his disciples. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away for she cries after us. In other words, she came to Jesus and she's crying to him and he says nothing. So she turns to his disciples and she's thinking, well, they'll help me. So she cries after them. And they turn to Jesus and say, Lord, send this woman away. No doubt she hears it. And we all run into disciples of Jesus like this, who could care less about you. The Apostle Paul says that we should fulfill the law of Christ by bearing one another's burdens. These disciples were only thinking of themselves. We're troubled. We're bothered by this woman. Leave us alone with Jesus. He's ours. He's not yours. We run into disciples who don't care for us, who don't love us, who gossip about us, who are short-tempered with us, who would rather not be troubled with our burdens. They sneer. And they screech. We're to be as harmless as doves. You ever hear a dove screech? Ever hear a dove howl? I hear Christians howling at other Christians. But doves don't howl. They coo. We're to be as gentle, as harmless as doves. But you'll run into Christians who are not harmless. And they'll do you damage. And these were the disciples that this woman ran into. And when she first came across that wall of silence, she said, I'm not giving up. She brought her ladder of faith. I have faith in that man, Jesus. He's the one that can help me. I didn't come here for those disciples, though I kind of took them by default. She took her ladder of faith, she climbed up over that wall of silence. She took her ladder of faith and she climbed up that wall, that slimy wall of slimy Christians who were not burying self. And you know, when you don't bury a dead body, what happens? It begins to stink. And that's why we throw dirt of humility upon ourselves so we don't stink up Christendom. You don't bury self, it stinks. If you don't bury the dead, it's a shame. And these disciples had not yet buried themselves. She is troubling us. Oh, I'm so bothered. I'm so upset. I'm put out. You ever meet Christians who get put out? When you have a need, oh, they're so put out. They haven't buried themselves. Was it going to stop this woman? Hopefully we're not one of those disciples who do not bear the burdens of others. Oh, I'll pray for you, some say. And that's as far as they go. But James tells us that avails nothing, really. Charles Finney says to pray only is to tempt God. You have to give them what is necessary for the body, says James. If they're hungry, you feed them. If they need clothes, you give it to them. If they need automobile, you help them. If they need a roof over their head, you give them a roof. You give them what they need for their body or your faith is worthless. And so God tests our faith to see of what worth it is. The disciples here, their faith was just about worthless. But this woman was not going to let somebody's worthless faith, someone who salt had lost its savor, she was not going to let that savorless salt keep her from the salvation of her daughter, from the peace that her home needed. She persevered and she came up to the third wall. And Jesus finally spoke to her. Perhaps not the words that she thought she would first hear from him. And no doubt when she first came to Jesus, hearing that he was compassionate, that he healed so many people and he raised the dead, that he would quickly turn, as he did to others. Remember, Jesus quickly turned to the thief on the cross and said, today you'll be with me in paradise. But not to this woman. She thought she'd hear good words, but she heard nothing. She heard nothing good from his disciples. Again, don't let Christians stumble you. Don't let the clergy stumble you. Martin Luther said to his flock one day, "You may hear that I, Martin Luther, have become apostate, but don't you lose your faith. Your faith's not in me," he said. It's got to be in Christ and his word. And with all the scandals and the falling clergy, it's easy to lose your faith. We don't look to man. We look to Christ. And so now finally Jesus speaks to her. And he says in verse 24, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In other words, because you're not a Jew, there's no way I'm going to help you. And she certainly could have turned around then and said, "Well, I was totally mistaken about Jesus. He's prejudiced. He is prejudiced. He only wants to help the Jews." And he was just testing her faith. Doesn't God seem prejudiced at times when he's helping others and not me? He's healing others, but not you. He gets other people out of their wheelchairs, gets other people out of poverty, takes other people out of cancer, but not me. Is it God prejudice? Many think that, and they'll say, "Yeah, I'm turning back. I'll go back to that horrible home, back to my daughter's terrible condition. There's no hope, there's no cure. Not this woman." She knew that he was just testing her faith. Yes, God does seem prejudiced at times when he's blessing others so richly. He seems to be passing us by. He's just testing our faith. She takes her ladder of faith again. She's not going to let this obstacle stop her. What would stop you from not following Christ? Think of that. They say every man has his price. What would stop you from not following Christ? What would keep you from loving him? Would it be any disease? Would it be unanswered prayer? Would it be catastrophe? Is there anything that would keep you from following him? Yeah, some people do have their price. Well, God better not let that happen to me. God better not do that. This woman persevered, past it all, with faith, and only by faith. That's why our faith has to be tested so it grows, because the first wall was high, the second wall got higher, the third wall was higher still. And if her faith did not grow at that first wall and at the second wall, she'd never scale the third wall. And we have many walls to scale, many mountains to climb. David said in Psalm 18:29, "For by thee have I run through a troop." It could be a troop of unloving disciples. It could be a troop of enemies. A troop of demons. How many demons would it take to stop you from following Christ? How many severe temptations? If we don't have the faith to conquer a small temptation, how will we face the larger temptation? That God allows. God allows Satan to tempt us. And the only way of escape is with that ladder that we call faith. "For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall." It's the leap of faith. That's how we get over the walls. By my God. By his help. By faith in him. I can run through a troop. I can leap over the wall. And this woman took her ladder of faith. "I know you've come for the Jews," she was saying. "So let me be one. Let me be one of your people. Let me be one who believes in you. Let me be one of the chosen. When she climbed that third wall, which was higher than the others, we read in verse 25, she came and worshiped him. At first he said nothing to her. And then when words were spoken, it was the words of the disciples she overheard, send her away. And then he said, I've only come for the Jews. You're a Gentile. Get lost in a sense. We wonder why God allows that. For one reason. I remember at one of the drug rehab centers 2 years ago where Dale and Jane were with me. I brought the message out. How that at times we have to keep on knocking and keep on knocking. We have to wrestle as Jacob did with the angel. As Peter, the gate to the city opened of his own accord when he escaped from prison. But the house, he had to keep on knocking on that door to get out. How the widow woman had to persistently badger the judge in order to be avenged of her adversary. How we have to keep on seeking, keep on knocking, keep on asking. And I remember there was one former drug addict there. He was going to be heading back to prison soon. And he couldn't understand that. And he was shaking his head, no. But I brought scriptures out to him. And I think it was from here too. And he finally realized that yes, deliverance is here for us. If we continue to plead and to ask and believe. She came and she worshiped him. Can you worship God? Will you worship Jesus Christ? Truly worship him? Give him adoration? Give him your love when he denies your requests? When he says no, can you worship him when you have this ache, this pain, this sickness that he's not taking away, but he takes it away from someone else? Can you still worship him? If you can't, your worship is good for nothing. You have to worship him always. Thank him for all things. Thank him in all things. She worshiped him. And she said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. But you know, before God can heal us, he has to wound us. Before he can exalt us, he has to abase us. And that's what he did next. And here, this final wall was the highest. But because her faith had grown from that first wall to the second wall to the third wall, now she was ready to scale this mountain of a wall. He answered and said to her, verse 26, it is not right to take the children's bread and to throw it to dogs. And I said before, no matter what translation you have, Jesus is calling her a dog. Does your Lord and Savior, has your Lord and Savior ever called you a dog? Has he ever called you a worm? He does, as he did this woman. This is the wall of insults, a complete humiliation. And of course, she had that faith. She wasn't going to turn back because he insulted her. You know, the Bible insults us, doesn't it? Calls our righteousness as filthy rags, calls us sinners. It calls us unrighteous, tells us we deserve hell. It insults us. And there are many then who close the book and read it no more. It's not right to take the children's bread and to throw it to dogs. And so at the top of that wall, scaled there by her ladder of faith, which is now grown so very high, she says, you're right, Lord. You're right. But don't even dogs receive crumbs from their master's table? She was saying, you're right, Lord, I am. I'm unclean. A dog was considered unclean. Whether it was a pet or a wild dog, it was unclean. What am I, a dog? Said Goliath, that David comes out to fight me. Am I a dog? It's an insult. One of the greatest insults you can give to a person of the Middle East is to call them a dog. Jesus gave her the greatest insult. And you know, God may insult you tomorrow. As you're reading his word, you might see something filthy in your life. And you see something wrong in your heart, and he points it out to you. She says, truth, Lord. But even dogs receive crumbs from their master's table. You know, Jesus had more for her than some crumbs. When Luther called himself a bag of maggots, God had something more for him than a few crumbs. More than some maggots would eat. He had reformation. When Isaac Watts called himself a worm, God had more for him than a few crumbs. He has led many to Christ, thousands through his songs. When William Carey called himself a worm, God had more for him than some crumbs. He brought the continent of India, nation of India, to its knees. So many thousands, tens of thousands were saved. She was ready to receive some crumbs, but Christ gave her much more than that. O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. As you want. What you want, I'll give to you. Because you persevered. And she was not asking for a bigger house and a beautiful house. And she was just asking for the salvation of her daughter. Now I'd like you to turn to the book of Hebrews, 11th chapter. All these individuals mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith or through faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, through faith, by faith, they conquered. By faith, they subdued. By faith, they scaled great heights of glory. By faith. Just look at a few of these. In verse 4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain did. A more excellent sacrifice. What? By faith. So what did he have to climb over? All the inferior sacrifices, such as his brother was giving, such as others would give God. He gave the best. He gave what God wanted. If you turn to Malachi, the first chapter, you read these scolding words that God gave to Israel and to his people today. Malachi chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 8. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? O priests that despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised thy name? You offer polluted bread upon my altar. You say, but I'm not a priest. Yes, you are. If you're born again, you're a priest. The New Testament does not speak of any priesthood other than the church of Jesus Christ, Jesus being the high priest. There is no special group of people dressed in special priestly garbs that go around saying, I'm a priest. It's the priesthood of every believer. In the Old Testament, you had that special group. But now, every believer is a priest. And the priests To them, God said, you offer polluted bread upon my altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And you offer the blind for sacrifice. Is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto your governor. Will he be pleased with you? Or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts. You see, we can offer God less than our best. We offer God junk sometimes when it comes to service, when it comes to duty. We save the best for ourselves. We feast off the world and throw him some scraps, as if he's the dog receiving crumbs from the master's table. He's the master. We deserve the crumbs. By faith, Abel saw the inferior sacrifice of his brother and said, I don't have to sacrifice one of my spotless prize lambs. I'll give him some turnip stew. But Abel was saying, no, that's an inferior sacrifice and it is not acceptable by God. I will give him the best, my spotless lamb from the flock. Verse 7 of Hebrews 11, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Noah had to have a ladder of faith. Yes, he was physically many times up on a ladder putting that ark together. But he needed something more than that. He needed a ladder of faith to see that there was a storm coming. Oh, the skies were clear. The sun was shining. But a storm's coming. Decades away. And you think he would just become lax and say, well, yeah, the storm's decades away. I'll just take my time, you know. No. He knew time was short. Christ is coming. Oh, where's the promise of his coming? It's been so long. It might be decades away. It might be centuries away. Does it matter? We still should be zealously serving him. Noah had to see that storm from a very high vantage point. Not from the top of the ark. He saw it before he laid the first beam of the ark. Before he chopped down the first tree for that first beam, he saw the storm coming, the flood coming, from a very high vantage point of faith. We read in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing where he was going. You know, you don't have to know what direction your life is taking. That's why people go to crystal ball gazers. What's my future going to be? We know our future. It's sealed. It's been proclaimed to us. An inheritance. That's what Abraham was going out for. An inheritance which he couldn't see, which he never found until God called him home, looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. He had that ladder of faith the moment he was called to leave Ur of the Chaldees, to live in tents his whole life. It didn't bother him. It didn't matter. He didn't know where he was going next. He just trusted in the Lord. He saw his heavenly home from the top of that ladder of faith. You don't have to know where your next step will take you. You don't have to know who you're going to marry or what your next job will be. That's all in God's plans. You just trust him. You don't know what the doctor's going to tell you on your next visit. You don't know what's been growing in your body. You don't know what's been growing in your brain. I don't know what's growing inside me. But I know I'm in his hands. That's all that matters. we too, by faith, are going in this life where we don't know, but the steps of a good, righteous man or woman are directed, ordered by the Lord. And then down in verse 17, Abraham, he was sorely tested again. Not just did he have to leave his beautiful house, and he was a wealthy man, and he left many of his family behind. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried or tested, he offered up Isaac. Take your son, your only son, your precious son, son of promise, and go up to the mountain and there sacrifice him to me. You know, when God told him that, Abraham, he had to look for his ladder of faith. Okay, here it is, Lord. I've got my faith. And I'm going to climb this big obstacle you put in front of me. And I'm going to look over and I can see something that I could not see unless I climb that ladder of faith. And that is the resurrection of my son, Isaac. And that's what we read here. Verse 19. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. We need that faith to see those who have died in Christ as resurrected. It's as if the resurrection has already happened, because it will happen. Remember when God told Isaiah? I love how Isaiah wrote this back in chapter 9 of Isaiah, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. You know, it reads as if Isaiah is holding baby Jesus in his arms. But he wasn't. It was 700 years in the future. But he's saying, I have it. I have it. Only by faith can we see that. Only by faith. How else could a father plunge a dagger into the chest and heart of his son unless he knew that pain was only for a moment, that within a short time he'd spring up again full of life? How else can we with any hope commit our loved ones to the ground unless we know that through Christ they will spring up again, they will rise again? Otherwise the grave has the victory. But the grave has no victory. Death has no sting anymore for the believers. For Jesus gives us the victory. How? Through faith. Through faith. And then there's Moses in chapter 11 of Hebrews, verses 24. Following, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know, it was in God's plan that Pharaoh's daughter find Moses. And then after a few years, Jochebed, his mom, gave him back to Pharaoh's daughter, and he grew up. And the Bible says he grew up in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, in all the learned wisdom of the Egyptians. That it was in God's plan that young Moses learned the religious beliefs of the Egyptians. Their customs, their way, their language. So that he someday could forsake it all to follow Christ. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What an obstacle that was to the journey of Moses. How are you going to get this wealthy prince, powerful, dignitary, royalty, to leave it all and go into the wilderness to suffer with the people of God? How's that going to happen? How can that be? How can God call us out of our comfort places, out of our palaces, into places of suffering unless we have that ladder of faith? And we climb to the top of that obstacle. He climbed up, put that ladder up against the desert wall. And he looked back and he saw Egypt and the palaces and all the wealth and the pleasure. And then he looked into the wilderness and saw nothing but pain and suffering. But beyond that, what could he see? Inheritance. Greater than what Egypt could give him. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. When we put that ladder of faith up against the Word of God, and we look back at this world, we say it's only for a season. It's all temporary, but what lies ahead is eternal. By faith, we're esteeming the reproach of Christ, greater than the riches. The shame of Christ, the suffering of Christ, is greater than the riches of Egypt. To have people mock you is greater than a huge sum of money in the bank. To have people shame you because you're a Christian is greater than having a nice house. The reproach of Christ is greater than the treasures of this world. If you don't see that, you're down here. You're down in the dirt. And you need to get that ladder and get a better vantage point. Because faith is the evidence of things not seen. And so by faith he forsook Egypt. He forsook all that was temporary, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he saw him who was invisible. He had recompense for the reward. On the other side of the desert is the reward. But did not God forbid him from going into the promised land? Yes, but that wasn't his reward. That's not what he followed God for. Otherwise he would kicking and screaming, God, you promised. He didn't. When God says you're not, go down and strengthen Joshua, and he did. That's not why he left Egypt, just to live in a land flowing with milk and honey. You could say, for them, that was the American dream. From slavery to the American dream, the promised land. That's why many immigrants come here, for the dream of a better life. The Christian says, there's something better yet. And that means to bear the reproach of Christ is greater than the American dream. Well, the American dream has snuffed out many a faith, many a Christian's faith. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith Gideon. And I'm going to end with Gideon this morning. I'd like you to turn to Judges chapter 6. Book of Judges chapter 6. Story of a farmer turned general, warrior. A man who had no faith. And really had no faith to start with, as none of us do. We're not born with faith in God. We're born with faith in ourselves, faith in our parents, but not faith in God. We read in Judges chapter 6, verse 11, there came an angel of the Lord and sat under the oak which was in Ophrah and pertained to Joash, the Abizite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said to him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Just a farmer. Where's the valor in that? Well, the angel saw it. See, God sees what we can be. The devil likes to remind us, and so do other people, what we once were. God sees what we can be through him. He He sees what we can be. And that's what the angel said. You mighty man of valor. Here he is threshing wheat. And we see in verse 13, they really didn't have much faith. And Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us," in other words, I'm not sure he is, "why then has all this befallen us?" Well, here's why, Christians, we need our faith to grow, because we're just like Gideon. If I have all these problems, how is it that God is with me? Hasn't God forsaken me? That's what Gideon thought. The angel of the Lord said, "God is with you." Gideon said, "No, he's not, because the Midianites are here." "God is with you." "No, he's not, because cancer's in my body." "God is with you." "No, he's not, because I'm poor." "God is with you." "No, he's not, because I don't have any friends. I don't have a wife. I don't have a husband." That's how many are. "If the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? Where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of?" A number of years ago, I was asked by my Uncle Jim to come preach at his church. He had the Assemblies of God on East Northport. He was very discouraged because half his congregation left. His Sunday school superintendent, his choir director. Half his congregation, 50%, he had about 100 people. 100 people, 50 of those people, some of the key leaders, some deacons and elders, left to go to another church, and they told my Uncle Jim, they have more miracles there. They have more miracles. And he was brokenhearted. He was very distressed. Very saddened by this. It wasn't because they didn't believe in miracles, and yes, time by time they saw one, but oh, they have more miracles. Gideon had such faith. It depended on seeing miracles. Jesus warns people, only an adulterous generation seeks after a sign. It means you don't have faith. And so here we see a faithless Gideon who says, "God can't be with us because where are all the miracles? We're being overrun by the Midianites. They pound us. They hate us. They conquered us. I have to hide the wheat from them. Where's God? Where are all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?'" And then the Lord looked upon him, verse 14, and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" And he said, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor, Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." Doesn't matter how little you are. Doesn't matter how poor you are. Doesn't matter how sick you are. But Gideon thought so. The Lord said to him through the angel, "Surely I will be with you, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." So if you're facing one man, army of tens of thousands, as if you're just facing one man. You think Gideon would have jumped up and said, "Praise God, I believe it." But no, he said, "If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me." You know, in the Old Testament, it's like Gideon. He didn't have one page of the Word of God. And so you could hardly blame him, saying, "Lord, okay, give me a sign. Give me a sign." And God did. And then the signs continued. In verse 36, Gideon said unto God, "If thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as you have said." Now here's a real evidence of the lack of faith. God gave him a sign. And now God said, and he says, "If you will do what you said." Okay. Because see, Gideon was not a man of great faith at this time. Oh, later on he did, when God had to cut down his army from 32,000, was it 32,000 to 300. Then we see by that time Gideon, his faith was growing. Lord, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, behold, I put a fleece of wool on the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and if it be dry upon all the earth beside that, then I know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. In other words, I need you to confirm your word to me. And so it was so, for he arose up early in the morning, and he thrust the fleece together, and wrung out the dew on the fleece, a bowl full of water. And then Gideon said unto God, let not your anger be hot against me, because Gideon knew he was testing the Lord. Okay? And I will speak this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let me test you once again. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, and upon all the ground let it be dry. Let it be dew. Let it be dry on the fleece this time and wet on the ground. And God did so that night. And it was dry upon the fleece. And the ground was wet with dew. Gideon's faith now increased. We have something better than Gideon. Gideon had the fleece. We have the whole lamb. Gideon had the fleece of the lamb. We got the whole lamb. We have all his word. I've tried putting out fleeces. It doesn't work. I had a Sunday school teacher here years ago who taught us, if you don't know God's will, put out a fleece. So I tried. It didn't work. That's like thinking that because something, and you know, no writer in the Bible has said, put out a fleece. Okay? Paul never says, you want to know the will of God? Put out a fleece. Okay? No, it's unheard of. Okay? But God did accept this because Gideon's faith was so weak. Ready to crumble if God didn't show them that sign. And some people are like that. They need a sign. They need to see a miracle. And that's why Jesus did so many miracles, so that people would believe, but then start to walk by faith and not by sight. You're not always going to get a miracle. And if you think by putting out a fleece, you're going to find God's will every time, it's like going to the Long Island Sound and taking a stick and saying, part Long Island Sound so I can walk across it. Why? Because God did it for Moses. God did it for Joshua. There's two cases of it. I think there's a third, Elisha, the prophet. Okay? Doesn't mean it's going to happen to us. Why? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. So Gideon had the fleece. We have the whole lamb. But we need faith, friends. We need to gain higher ground. We're going to sing that song in closing now. I'd like the praise team to come up here. We need higher ground. Number? I'll you take your hymn books, number 549. Let's stand together. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. By faith, we go higher. So please think of that Greek woman who would not be turned away for any reason. There was nothing Jesus could do or say that would stop her from getting the salvation of her daughter. No silence. None of those crummy disciples. There are a lot of crummy disciples in the church. Not any seeming prejudice on his part. No insult the Bible hurls at you. Let nothing stop you from seeking God, from getting answers to your prayers. Take that ladder of faith, and you'll get a better vantage point of what lies ahead for the believer. A new body, a new home, an eternity. And we need to see that. That this outward man perishes, but the inner man's renewed day by day. And this light affliction, says Paul, works for us an exceeding greater weight of glory. You can't see that glory unless you go higher.
Higher ground, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. May that be true in all our lives. 549.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane. And I have come, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost heights and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven. A higher place, and I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Thank you, Lord. We don't need to put out the fleece because we have the whole lamb. We have all of you, Jesus. We are complete in you. We don't have to look to science for answers. We don't have to look to the stars for guidance. We look to Jesus, to your word. We have it all in you, Lord. We don't have to look to man. We don't have to look to philosophers. We don't have to look to religion. We have you, Jesus. You are the Lamb that was slain for sinners. We are indeed complete in Christ. All fullness of knowledge and wisdom dwells in Christ. Why look anywhere else? It's in you, Lord. And Lord, if you give us a sign, fine. If you perform a miracle, great. But we have he who is called Miracle, Jesus. You are our miracle, Lord. And you've created a miracle in our souls. And may we continue to walk with that miracle of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, help us to have the faith of that pagan woman. You said, great is your faith to that woman. Great faith, Lord, perseveres. Great faith doesn't turn back because you're silent. Great faith doesn't fault you when you're silent. Great faith keeps persisting, believing that eventually you will answer that prayer. You will save that soul. You will bring down revival. You will do, Lord, what your will is. Help us to have such faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.